Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. We'll get rolling with our announcements here. Everybody can find a seat. See if I remember to do all my announcements properly. Let's see. Are you decluttering, spring cleaning, downsizing? The LCUUC Fundraiser Committee wants your treasures. Treasures. This year, instead of a rummage sale, we will be selling donated items online using eBay, Craigslist, etc. We hope this will allow us to bring in funds from a wider circle and allows you to donate year-round. It will also, for those of you who have ever helped clean up after the rummage sale, not have to carry everything out that doesn't sell. However, the type of items that sell online is sometimes different than what sells at a rummage sale. So see the list in the social hall or in previous emails for what we are looking for and what we don't want. Items should be clean and in good condition. Think consignment store quality more than garage sale, although I've seen people with some pretty darn clean garages. So if you consignment over garage. Few items will be on display in the social hall each week. Information about how to purchase items is on the table next to these items. We could also use a few more volunteers because you do have to post these, list these, take pictures, do other things to get them online. See Kristen Sandin or Bev Brosh, if either of you are here somewhere. There's Kristen. And they can feed you more information. If you have questions or want to send a photo of a large item for us to post, you can contact a fundraising committee member at our new email fundraising. So if you do have large items, they do not have to be brought in. They will need a picture taken for the postings usually, but if they can be picked up from your place or wherever they're sitting, that will work as well. Second announcement, soup today. So if you are interested in soup after the service, come and have some with us. This funds for the soup go to our capital campaign. Number three, today there will be a Living Our Principles joint RE class. All high school youth should stay in the service. No running away. All other children, youth, should go to the social hall after the story for all ages. Today's sermon will be presented by Shana Harvey and Auralia Gonzalez, who are sitting down here. There'll be a further introduction of them later on, so we welcome them. They are here representing the New Sanctuary Movement, a campaign through Voces de la Frontera, whose mission is to organize immigrant and allied faith communities together to create the conditions necessary for achieving just and humane treatment of immigrants in the U.S., so we welcome them today. Our designated collection will go to Voces de la Frontera. All loose cash donations will go to Voces. And if writing a check, make it out to LCUUC with Voces de la Frontera in the memo line. Today's order of service includes announcements of other upcoming church activity, and we look forward to everyone joining in. To stay current on services, events, and activities, check out our webpage at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all your electronics, your buzzers, your beepers. Children are okay. You don't have to silence them. And thank you. Our service is about to begin. Thank you.
other. Black and brown faces in front of white, searching for understanding, compassion, acceptance, vulnerable in their uncertainty. Will we see only the other, or can we see our own vulnerability reflected in their eyes? Can we be strong together, unafraid of our common humanity? Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning. We have a cutie this morning to light our chalice series. Please join in singing our chalice lighting song. The words are printed in your order of service.
That was a good memory. Everybody remembers that one. We haven't done that for a while. Our hymn, Please Rise in Body or Spirit and Join in Singing Our Opening Hymn, number 1023, Building Bridges in the Teal Hymnal. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to bring a message of hope and grace to an imperfect world. My name is Paul Fackler, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. This morning's service was put together by our Social Justice Committee, so welcome and thanks for doing all the work on this. We welcome you no matter where you come from, whether you have always lived in Wisconsin, or came here from Nicaragua, Italy, Germany, Poland, Mexico, Laos, Ireland, Wales, Switzerland, Greece, Iceland, the Netherlands, El Salvador, China, India, Wakanda, or even Michigan. We welcome you whether you say aunt instead of aunt, ¿Cómo estás? Or how's it going, eh? Or about instead of a boot. And whether or not you have ever said, oh, yeah, there, hey. No matter who you are or where you come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have some of the answers and those who have none of the answers, and those who aren't even sure if we are asking the right questions. We are a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation. We welcome and affirm all people, regardless of who they love or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, find out more about our church. We are glad that you have chosen to be here today to celebrate and worship with us.
Crops are all in and the peaches are rotting. You know, the oranges pile up in their creosote dumps. They're flying you back to the Mexican border to pay all your money just to wade back again. Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye Rosalita, adios mi amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have your names when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be deportees.
Some are illegal and some are not wanted. Your work contract's out and you have to move on. 600 miles to that Mexican border. They chase you like outlaws, like rustlers, like thieves. You died in our hills, you died in our deserts, you died in our valleys and died on died beneath our trees, and you died in our bushes. Both sides of the river, you died just the same.
Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have your names when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be deportees. The sky plane caught fire over Los Gatos Canyon. A fireball of lightning that shook all our hills. Who are all these friends all scattered like dry leaves? The radio says they are just deportees. Is this the best way we can grow our big orchards? Is this the best way we can grow our good fruit? To fall like dry leaves, to rot on the topsoil. Be called by no name except deportees. Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have your name when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be deportees. All they will call you will be deportees.
Thank you. One of the ways we care for our wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have food items to share, please bring them forward at this time, or ask a child to bring them forward for you, and I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story for all ages.
Come nice and closely so you can see the pictures, okay? Come a little bit closer. What a nice group of children today. The story for today is called This Is Our House. And the children in the story for today come from these houses, okay? Not exactly maybe what your neighborhood looks like, but there's lots of children in this story. So pay close attention, because you're going to talk about this story when you get back to your RE class. So right here in the middle, you can see a little playground, and this is where the story takes place. This is our house. George was in the house. This house is mine and no one else is coming in, George said. It's not your house, George, said Lindy. It belongs to everybody. No, it doesn't, said George. This house is all for me. Lindy and Marley went for a walk over to the swings. It's not George's house, is it? Said Lindy. Of course not. It isn't, said Marley. Lindy and Marley looked in the window. It's not your house, George, and we're coming in. Oh, no, you're not, said George. This house isn't for girls. I bet you wouldn't like that, would you, girls? No. Freddie was walking past with Rabbity. Here's Rabbity down here. I've come to put Rabbity to bed, said Freddie. You can't, said George. This house isn't for small people like you. Freddie took Rabbity for a ride in the car. Charlene and Marlene fixed the front wheel. George won't let me and Rabbity in the house, said Freddie. Charlene and Marlene, Freddie and Rabbity, headed straight to the house. Stop right there, said George. Boy, he's a bully, isn't he? We're coming in to fix the fridge, said Charlene and Marlene. You notice anything about their names? They rhyme, don't they? Oh, no, you're not, said George. This house isn't for twins. That must be why their name rhymes. So we've got all sorts of people who are getting a little upset. Luther's jumbo jet landed in the... Oops, I guess I missed a page. Just a minute. Here it is. We're coming in to fix the fridge, said Charlie. Oh, no, that's we've already done. Sorry, my fingers don't work sometimes. Do you ever have fingers that don't work? Here we're getting it now. There we go. Luther's jumbo jet landed in the house. He went to get it. Where do you think you're going, said George. Flight 505 has crashed, said Luther, and I'm coming in for the rescue. Fire, fire. Woo-wee, wee-oo, wee-oo, wee-oo. You're not coming in here, said George. Luther radioed for help. Call Dr. Sophie. Calling Dr. Sophie. Can I help you, said Sophie? We can't get at the airplane, doctor, said Luther. Leave it to me, said Sophie. Sophie and Luther pushed through the crowd. "Make way for the doctor," said Luther. "We're coming in." You can see this picture kind of continues over here, doesn't it? "Oh, no, you're not," said George. "This house isn't for people with glasses." I guess I couldn't go in the house, could I? I'm glad I'm not there. Rashida had a plan. "I'm going to tunnel in." She poked her head under the house. "Go away," said George. "This is my house." "Well, this is my tunnel," said Rashida. "Well, tunnel somewhere else," said George. "This house isn't for people like who like tunnels." He just has all sorts of reasons to keep these people out, doesn't he? It was getting very, very noisy around the house now, and hot. And guess what? George wanted to go to the bathroom. "I'm going to leave my house now," said George, "and no one can get or go in it when I'm gone." George went to the bathroom. Do you have any ideas? You guys are awesome, aren't you? Oh, this microphone is really loud. Lindy, Marley, Freddie, Rabbity, Marlene, Charlene, Luther, Sophie, and Rashida went straight into the house. You were right. George came back. There was no room for George. "This house isn't for people with red hair," they said back to him. George started to shout. George started to cry. George started to stamp his feet and kick the wall. Then he stopped and he looked. "This house is for people with red hair," said George. "And for girls and small people with twins and for people who wear glasses and like tunnels." He's kind of changed his mind, hasn't he? Well, yeah, he did. "Because," shouted Lindy, "Marley, Freddie, Marlene, Charlene, Luther, Sophie, and Rashida, this house is for everyone. And our church is for everyone, isn't it?" So I hope you enjoyed the story, and remember, you might get a few questions about it. Okay, may I have our lantern lighter? There you go. Got it? Okay.
"May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. Please join in singing the children to their classrooms. The song is called, For You Shall Go Out, and the words are written in your order of service."
Our community is not a place, rather it is a coming together of our ideas and goals, our principles and desires. It is made of people connecting to one another. We do not have a church building in order to hide ourselves from the world, but as a place to come together, a place where we can reach out from to our larger community. When we give, not only through our time, our thoughts, and our presence, but also from what we have earned, we are not just showing generosity, we are also saying yes. Yes to groups like Voces. We are saying yes, you are part of our community. A reminder that today is a designated collection for Voces de la Frontera, the organization that you will be hearing from our guest speakers. Loose cash will go to Voces, and checks can be made out to LCUUC with Voces de la Frontera in the memo line. The morning offering will now be given and received.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for these gifts given and received for the work of this community. As a community of human hands and human hearts, this is the time in our service where we come together to hear witness to one another's lives. Before the service, you are always welcome to silently light a candle on the candle table, but during the service, we speak aloud, and Jerry will light the candles for us today. If you would like to share a joy or concern, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, this is Mark. First of all, I have a concern about being an other since my first 22 years were in Michigan.
You're welcome here, Mark.
But my joy is that many of you heard me talk about my son who struggled with mental illness in the past, but how he's really turned things around. And so my first granddaughter just turned 2 on the equinox a few days ago. So we'll celebrate today.
Sue, can you light a candle for my dad? Seeing a little bit of progression of one of the tumors in his brain into his brainstem, which is concerning, but also just a joy that I have the flexibility in my schedule to be able to go out and visit periodically.
Hi, this is John. I'd like to express a joy at being able to support and participate in the March for Our Lives yesterday in Milwaukee. I've never been part of a protest march in my entire life, and it was very heartwarming to see and hear what the young people can say and the leadership they displayed in hopes of reducing gun violence.
I'm Bud Hudson, and John and Mark both took the words right out of my mouth. I likewise am from Michigan. We'll have lunch together, Mark, someday. And it was an absolute joy to participate with so many others and hear the incredible words of our youth. But it was a concern that we even have a march like that. And may we work ahead, okay, and try and eradicate any reason for ever having another march like that. Likewise, I'm concerned that we are not acting as much as we should for the sanctuary movement. So we are blessed with having several visitors today who will hopefully increase the motivation that all of us have.
This is Claire. Candle of joy for my good friend, Rob Kellner. It's his 36th birthday today. He is a high school friend who has helped me through a lot of things. We've helped each other out, and he's a very dear friend of mine. Thank you.
Hi, this is Terry. I have a really grave concern because you didn't even mention New Jersey. And so I don't even know where I stand.
I didn't know people were fleeing New Jersey. I knew Michigan was being fled to Wisconsin. So.
I also feel so fortunate to have been at the march yesterday. The estimate in the journal was that there were 12,000 people in Milwaukee, and there were 800,000 people in Washington, D.C. That's more than at anybody's inaugural talk. It's even more than were at the first march, the day after the last inauguration. I'm so proud of these kids, and I think that whatever we can do to support them, we should.
Hi, this is Mike. I have a question for the audience. Who in the audience is a immigrant or child of immigrants, the first generation? So just to let you know that people within the audience here, I have experienced some of the issues that you're going to be bringing up in your talk today. Thank you.
Hi, this is Fran, and I would like you to light a candle of joy for, I was at the March of Milwaukee also, and I think this generation of students, let's say born in 2000, it's Gen Z, Generation Change.
Hi, I'm Suzette. I'm not a first generation child of an immigrant, but I'm a second generation child of an immigrant. I think probably we all are, unless our great-grandparents came here on the Mayflower, which I don't get why people don't understand that. But anyway, but my beautiful granddaughter, who was just sitting here next to me, her dad, my son-in-law, was an undocumented immigrant until very recently, and he got in under the wire before this president showed up. It's a really personal thing for me. I mean, I always felt strongly about it, but now, you know, thinking this child and possibly my daughter and her husband would not be here with us. It's unbearable. It's unbearable. And I want to light a candle of concern for all of those human beings, brothers and sisters of ours, who are still in that state of, you know, undocumentation, whatever we want to call that. A candle of joy for those who are not and can stay here or go if they want to. My son-in-law is now able to go back home and visit his mother, who he didn't see for 12 years, and his little brother, who he didn't see for 12 years, you know. So anyway, I would like a candle of each of those things around this issue, and thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Good morning. A candle of joy for my 10-year-old River. You guys know River, the perpetual talker. Yesterday morning, he motivated me to go to the march and bring his siblings. And he doesn't know anything about the shootings. We don't watch the news. We don't have a TV. And it was him. He was like, let's do this. I've never been to a march. He's never participated in anything like that, and he wanted to do it. And he got us out the door to do it, and he's the one who got me going yesterday. So, yes, Gen Z, whoever, Fran, is that with you? Yes, at 10, he's going to be changing the world. He's going to do it.
I'll translate into English when I'm done. Quiero dedicar una vela a mis compañeros que están aquí hoy mismo para participar en este servicio. I'd just like to dedicate a candle to my friends and companions from New Sanctuary who are here today. It's intimidating to share, especially such personal things, and so I also appreciate the compassion in each and every one of you. This is our first time here, and we feel more than welcome. This is a very painful phase that we're going through in our country and just in our immigration system. Being among friends and being among people of compassion and dedication is a huge step toward our own healing and healing our society and culture. So we appreciate your presence and your dedication, and appreciate the opportunity to share worship with you today.
And we light the last candle for those joys and sorrows which we hold deeply, but which have not been named here today. Please take a few moments of silence a few moments for silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
Our first reading is The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. This is the poem that's on the plaque on the base of the Statue of Liberty. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lighting, and her name Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command Airbridge Harbor, the twin cities frame. Keep ancient land, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses learning to breathe free. The wretched refuge of your teeming shore. Send these the homeless tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Here ends the first reading.
Our second reading is La Ruta de las Mujeres, The Woman's Route, written by Reverend Del McCormick. I walk the path that you took hours or days ago. Stones and slope and thorns threaten each step with danger. I see where you slept under the mesquite tree, home to spiders, snakes, ants, familiar to coyotes, Gila monsters, God knows what. A piece of plastic, grass woven into the branches for shade against the merciless sun. A tuna can, toothbrush, tortilla cloth, used bus ticket, all part of your story, your life lost in this desert. Nearby, a tiny silver spoon engraved, a love letter, your Bible, a pair of panties, birth control pills, breast cancer medicine, a baby bottle, diapers, one chancla, perfume bottle, a pair of pants with a name and number written in the inseam. Oh, what you leave behind haunts me. I know you, sister, mother, friend, lover, aunt. Someday we will all be held accountable for your suffering, your loss. Someday we will celebrate your courage, your story, your making your way to the promised land. Someday we will name this Exodus and thank God that some of you made it across. Here ends the second reading.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 1027, When the Poor Ones, in the Teal Hymnal.
Thank you. Bienvenidos, amigos. Gracias. Today we welcome two speakers from Voces de Fronteras, New Sanctuary Movement. Shana Harvey, if you would raise your hand, please, Shana, serves as coordinator of the New Sanctuary Movement, Milwaukee, and has been an active member of both New Sanctuary Movement and Voces de Frontera for 3 years. Her passion for immigrant justice began in Chicago, where she worked as a teaching musician in public schools, parks, libraries, and museums for over 10 years. Shana believes strongly in the power of community awareness, connection, and collaboration, and incorporates these principles into all New Sanctuary projects. She is a third-generation Wisconsin immigrant and works to make her home state a place where everyone can live freely. Oralia Gonzalez moved to Milwaukee from Mexico hasta 15 años, 15 years ago, to provide her 3 children with quality education and abundant opportunities. The mother of 2 DACA recipients and 1 U.S. citizen, Oralia is a strong advocate for keeping families together and providing them with resources they need to survive, thrive, and give back to their communities. Bienvenidos.
Thank you all so very much for welcoming us to your beautiful sanctuary today. Very, very grateful to be here in Heartland and to share a little bit about what we do. So we have Oralia Gonzalez and her husband with us today, as well as founding members of New Sanctuary Movement, Bill and Joanne Lang, and Magdalena Lopez, who has been a member of New Sanctuary for many years. It is a collaborative effort, and we are, with the exception of my position, actually entirely volunteer-run and volunteer-led. So we depend upon not just the talents and skills of volunteers, but engagement and ideas and personal experience. It's from the personal experience of many of our volunteers that we choose directions that we need to take in order to provide, just basically a free and happy and sustainable life for people in the Milwaukee community and our state. So a couple of things occur to me. Really, the quote on the front of the program is where sanctuary began. When strangers sojourn with you in your land, you shall do them no wrong. The strangers who sojourn with you shall be to you as natives among you, and you love them as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And that is the biblical definition of what we think of as sanctuary. Sanctuary as a religious and political endeavor began in the 1980s in this country as a result of the terrible civil war that was happening in El Salvador. And members of mainly Catholic community at the time, who were keenly aware of how our own U.S. government had participated in kind of the dissemination and destruction that led to the civil war in El Salvador, basically took it upon themselves to provide refuge for people who were fleeing El Salvador but who our government would not deem refugees. So because of the sanctuary movement in the 1980s in which Bill and Joanne participated, people were given shelter from, basically most certain death. At that point, sanctuary was kind of a sequestering of people. If you see footage of sanctuary in the 80s, you'll see often the person who's being interviewed or the person who's being asked to describe their situation as a refugee is hidden from view, has something over their heads, because people were deeply, deeply afraid of being targeted and assassinated. In fact, one of the places I worked in Chicago as a musician and kind of what's called the peace program and the youth program there was Centro Romero, named for an archbishop, a Salvadoran archbishop, Oscar Romero, who was one of the unfortunate victims of the Salvadoran conflict in the 80s. So moving ahead, New Sanctuary was kind of a resurgence of the sanctuary tradition that began in the mid-2000s when, under George W. Bush, there began to be more aggressive raids in workplaces and raids in, you know, what the song referred to before, migrant farmers, you know, very targeted raids on migrants who were participating in the economy here. And I think what we have to remind ourselves, participating in the economy in a way that was sanctioned by our government. So when the rug was suddenly pulled out from under people who up until then had been having a rather, I mean, cyclical relationship with the economies in their own countries and economy here, the response among faith organizations was a different kind of sanctuary that instead of sequestering, hiding people, would elevate people's stories and actually raise awareness of really an injustice that was happening, but not just an injustice, a double standard as to how people were allowed to pursue, you know, in many cases, a very modest economic sustainability for their families. So in about 2006 or so, new sanctuary chapters began forming all over the country. So New Sanctuary in Milwaukee works with Voces de la Frontera very closely. You're all welcome to visit our wonderful office in Walker's Point on 5th Street between Mineral and Washington. It is there that all the departments in Voces are housed as well as New Sanctuary. But in addition to being part of Voces and working closely on their projects, we also, as New Sanctuary Movement Milwaukee, partner with sanctuary coalitions all across the country to basically raise awareness, an awareness, but also a compassion rooted in interfaith. Many of us who are called to worship, many of us who are called to devote a piece of our lives to our faith, are called out of a place of compassion, out of a place of curiosity, out of a place of wanting to explore and even wanting to delve into the discomfort of what it means to be human. And what I've already seen just in this worship service is that you are people who delve into that discomfort. You are people who wish to face the painful realities and kind of contemplate how you as an individual and then also, you know, as a congregation can confront and engage and really, turn your faith in some ways outward, because there's this faith, the faith that we have within ourselves, and the, you know, we're constantly digging deeper, but also we're constantly being given opportunities to engage, to you know, reach out. So there are now sanctuary coalitions across the nation. There's one in Milwaukee, there's one in Philadelphia, there's one in New York. The New York sanctuary received a lot of attention because its coalition leader, Ravi Ragbir, was basically put into final deportation removal orders. I don't know if you saw footage of people marching. If you look up, if you Google New Sanctuary Coalition New York and Ravi Ragbir, he's from Trinidad and has been the coalition leader in New Sanctuary for many years. And what we saw with Ravi and what we're seeing among other sanctuary and immigrant advocacy groups across the country is there is evidence that immigration is now targeting people who are leaders in the movement. So all this to say, right now, where we are at as New Sanctuary Movement Milwaukee is offering services that people who are in, you know, not citizens yet need for lack of other pathways. So one of the main things we will do is, for example, offer people accompaniment to and from court cases, to and from detention centers where family members might be. We will connect people to much-needed legal advocacy. Something that is not understood on a big level is that if you are a U.S. citizen and you commit a crime, you have the right to an attorney. You know, we all know the you have the right to an attorney. One may be provided for you by, well, if you are a person, you're not a citizen and you are targeted to go through immigration proceedings, you do not have the right to an attorney, and you have to seek legal aid privately, which sometimes can be prohibitively, in fact, most times, prohibitively expensive unless you can find basically what is the equivalent of a public defense for immigration. And that is only provided through grants. That is only provided through, in fact, I was just Friday at an attorney's conference at Christ Presbyterian Church in Madison. And organizations like Christ Presbyterian, although they don't offer, and we'll get into that in a second, physical sanctuary, what they're doing is they are offering their space for a free legal clinic for members of the immigrant community who need everything from consultations to defense if a family member or they themselves are going through removal proceedings. So I don't want to, I know that we're a little late, but quickly, and then what I'm hoping to do is have a little time for questions. I think that a lot of times when a church, and I should say that in Milwaukee, we have had extraordinary support from First Unitarian Society, Reverend Jennifer Nordstrom. I have also been approached directly by members of the Unitarian Church Olympia Brown in Racine, who do amazing work with the youth chapter at Voces de la Frontera, Youth Empowered in the Struggle, the Unitarian Church in Waukesha. What I'm saying is that Unitarians across the country, including yourselves, are actively standing up and reaching out and actively basically asking us, not telling us what you can do for us, but asking us, what do you need? And we are so, so very grateful for that. But what we do among other Unitarians plus interfaith organizations in Milwaukee and across the state is we have a monthly vigil. And the vigil is often, like the service today, themed around immigrant issues. It generally has to do with what the latest challenge, what the latest, what the latest endeavor is as far as advocacy. And we have a monthly vigil. It's every first Tuesday of every month at either a church in Milwaukee. Sometimes we will go as far as Racine. You're all welcome to attend. I'll make sure that Carrie Duma and Susan Vincent, who reached out to me initially, get all of the contact information as to how members of this congregation can participate. In addition to our vigils at, I call it a movable sanctuary, every first Thursday of every month, we are outside of Immigration and Customs Enforcement in Milwaukee, and we have a vigil there just to make our presence known. Sometimes we'll do what's called a Jericho Walk in the tradition of the walls come tumbling down, where we will actually do a physical walk on the sidewalk in front of the building. And basically just any sort of a faith organization can bring their banner, can bring to send the message not just to immigration officials and agents inside the building, but to people who are coming in and out of the building who perhaps might be in or at risk of removal proceedings. And seeing that advocacy, especially among people who, for lack of a better term, look European, look white, is extremely meaningful to people because we have a leadership right now in this country that is doing everything they can to isolate and divide. And if you, you know, the more news you listen to, the more you're exposed. If you do not have an alternative to reach out, if you're in a segregated community and you're not necessarily living among people of different cultures, different socioeconomic, you know, incomes, you very quickly receive the impression that, you know, perhaps you are unwanted. You're receiving kind of subliminal instructions to, for lack of a better term, keep in the shadows. So, in addition to our vigils, in addition to accepting very gracious invitations from congregations like yours, we connect people with legal services. We are constantly looking for alternatives to private attorneys, you know, clinics. Voces de la Frontera, who is our partner organization, actually has every other Saturday an immigration attorney who is there completely gratis, you know, free of charge, who is there to give consultations. Unfortunately, if somebody has a more complicated case, you know, they will need to then seek a private attorney. So right now we're at a point where we're trying to seek for the people we work with basically free legal aid. So let's see, legal aid, we have our vigils. Another response to the need for legal aid, we are getting together right now teams of volunteers and training people how to basically help a client gather what one might need to gather for what we call deportation defense. If somebody suddenly is threatened by immigration or threatened by, and this happens, I think we don't really realize right now. There's an important distinction between what our government deems a criminal act and what we grow up viewing as a criminal act. And in a moment, I'm going to turn it over to Aurelia, because one of the major issues that we confront as New Sanctuary Movement, I would say the vast majority of clients who come to us because they've been stopped for driving without a license. And the easy response to that is, well, if you can't get a license, then, you know, why are you driving? Like, nobody should drive without a license. Well, if people are denied, I mean, imagine just being denied access to a license. We don't live in Manhattan or Boston or San, you know, we don't live in an area where public transportation is available, you know? And the reality of work, I don't know how many of you have, you know, fair commutes back and forth to work. You can't always work in your neighborhood. You know, you really do in Wisconsin. We need access to vehicles. So what ends up happening is somebody, you know, people drive without a license. And these are people who know how to drive. Basically, all that people need is just permission, state-sanctioned permission to drive with a license, even though they're not citizens. It's available in Illinois. It is not available in Wisconsin. And one of the things that Voces de la Frontera and New Sanctuary have been advocating for is give people the right to drive. It's kind of a core issue because something as simple as permission to drive would eliminate what is happening now, which we see on a very broad level, the criminalization of individuals who are going to work. You know, the criminalization of individuals who are contributing to their community and, you know, suddenly because of two incidents being stopped driving without a license are going to criminal court. And then this involves contracting a criminal lawyer in addition to an immigration lawyer. So you start to see, one, the racial profiling that unfortunately is a result of these sort of sanctions. A lot of times clients who come to us being, you know, stopped for driving without a license, it turns out that it's like, well, what were you doing? You know, were you doing anything that, you know, were you speeding? Were you? No. So it's important to remember that, too, that why is somebody pulled over? Why? You know, start to ask these questions about it. And, you know, but then, of course, the charge is there and the criminal proceedings begin. And at that point, especially at this point in our society, somebody is at risk then for encountering immigration. And immigration is able to say, well, you have criminal charges against you. So one thing that we as New Sanctuary try to raise awareness about is, what is a criminal case? Who is a criminal? We as people of faith constantly, like, if somebody is charged with a criminal offense, do they deserve to be ripped apart from their families? And in some cases, if they're a young person who spent their entire life here, do they deserve to be sent back to a country that is really not their own anymore? So before I turn it over to Aurelia, I'm going to mention we do have a vigil coming up on April 10th. It will be at Ascension Lutheran Church. I'll send Carrie and Susan news about it. At 6:30 in the evening at Ascension Lutheran Church on the corner of Layton and Scott in Milwaukee. On April 11th, I'm hoping that a representative from your social action committee can attend a sanctuary coalition meeting that is being spearheaded by Reverend Jennifer Nordstrom in Milwaukee. And it's going to be a group of statewide churches. So Faith in Action from Madison are going to be there. They already have sanctuary churches across the state. By sanctuary church, this is a church who whose congregation has decided unanimously, we are going to keep a space in the church, and we are going to keep this space open for somebody who, when they begin their removal proceedings, can make a conscious choice to come to our church and seek sanctuary. Churches are considered sensitive spaces, like hospitals and schools. It's not that immigration cannot enter a church. It is just, it just looks pretty bad. And it's a sensitive space, and it's protected. I want to give Aurelia time, since much more than New Sanctuary advocacy, a wonderful way to really kind of connect to what's going on is to just hear from people who are directly affected and whose daily lives are affected. Aurelia, I had the pleasure of being with her last week. So she's fairly new to New Sanctuary. Her daughter, however, is a DACA recipient and has been an extremely strong advocate for immigrant rights. She is she works at the Roberto Hernandez Center for Latino Advocacy at UWM. And obviously she gets that fire from her mother. So thank you so much for having us again, and I'll turn it over to Aurelia Gonzalez, and I'll be translating for her.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es Aurelia González, y nosotros vinimos hace 23 años a este país con muchos sueños. Vinimos a sacar a nuestra familia adelante.
I'm Aurelia Gonzalez. I've lived here for 23 years with my family, with many, many hopes and dreams. We came here to basically move our family forward.
Nosotros tuvimos que, mi esposo y yo, agarrar dos trabajos cada quien, trabajar 7 días de la semana para poder pagar la universidad de mi hija, y lo logramos. Salimos adelante sin ninguna deuda.
My husband and I, for years, both worked 2 jobs, 7 days a week, to pay for university for your daughter, right, la hija, for our daughter. And for many years, this is how we worked hard. But aside from the hard work, there were no problems. We were moving forward with our goals.
Como muchos piensan que nosotros venimos a quitarles, a pedir ayudas, a quitarles trabajos. No, vinimos a sacar adelante a nuestros hijos, a demostrar que nosotros podemos con nuestro trabajo, no necesitamos depender de ayudas, porque ese es nuestro orgullo, pagar sus carreras. Y el único delito es querer tener bien a nuestros hijos como cualquier otra familia.
So, our only crime is that we want our kids to be successful and to have opportunity, like any other person. And there's a misconception that we come here to take jobs, that we come here to, you know, use social services. And that is a misconception. My husband and I, we worked and worked for years to be able to pay ourselves for our daughter's education, and that was something that we were proud to do. It was a given that we were going to do this for our daughter.
Pero en el último año, las cosas han cambiado demasiado. Nos sentimos perseguidos. Nos sentimos con miedo. Tenemos depresión. No podemos salir tan simple y sencillamente a un almuerzo, a una comida fuera de nuestro condado, porque sentimos que todos nos están mirando, la policía nos va a perseguir. Entonces hemos decidido por estar encerrados en casa.
Thank you. The situation has changed drastically over the last year. We are living now in a state of pretty consistent fear. We don't leave our home the way we used to, you know, just to do simple things like go out to eat somewhere, maybe go into a different county. Right now, there is a very kind of clear feeling of being watched. And it's contributing to just a constant state of anxiety, depression. And basically, we feel trapped inside our home.
Lamentablemente, el que está padeciendo mucho, mi hijo el más chico, tiene 14 años y él está muy enojado, está frustrado, desesperado, que por qué está pasando eso si él es ciudadano y se siente que al gobierno no le importa, que si él puede estar aquí y de sus padres los echan, ¿qué va a hacer él de su vida? Él está, les ha afectado mucho, está enojado, está frustrado. Está muy chico para tener tanta carga sobre sus hombros.
Thank you. This is affected primarily, and unfortunately, my 14-year-old son, who is a citizen, and he has been lately saying things like, "Just like the government doesn't care about me. Like this country doesn't care about me. They're putting me in a position where my family could be taken from me at any moment." He's asking questions like, why am I a citizen? The rest of my family is not. And how could this be happening to me and my family? And I see that in him, and it just feels like way, way too much for a 14-year-old child to be carrying on his shoulders.
Muchas personas piensan, o algunas, ¿por qué no se regresan a su país? Porque mis hijos no conocen mi país. Si yo me los llevo allá, es como si me los estoy llevando a la muerte. Porque el simple verlos, se van a dar cuenta que ellos no hablan el español como yo. No lo quieren hablar, la forma de vestir. Entonces se van a dar cuenta que ellos no son de allá. Y son, como decimos nosotros, presa fácil para que los maten, los secuestren, siendo que nosotros no tenemos dinero para pagar un secuestro.
So there's the question that we hear a lot, why don't you just go back to your country, you know? And at this point, taking my children back to my country is in some ways like taking them to, it's like the death of something for them. They didn't grow up there, you know. They don't speak Spanish like I do. They speak Spanish, but in a different manner. And there also is the very harsh reality of kidnappings. Right now in Mexico, people are targeting, people who apparently come from the United States. We don't have the money to support our children. If our children were kidnapped, if our children were threatened in this manner, we simply don't have the resources to protect them from that sort of from that sort of threat.
Desafortunadamente, ya no somos ni de aquí ni de allá. Tenemos más de la mitad de nuestra vida viviendo en Estados Unidos. Nosotros, mi esposo y yo, ya no nos acoplaríamos a una vida allá. Hemos tenido que pasar tristezas a distancia. Murieron familiares. No pudimos despedirnos de ellos. Pero estamos aquí con el propósito firme de sacar a nuestros hijos adelante. Y somos más fuertes cada día. Nosotros sabemos con la ayuda de Dios vamos a salir adelante. Y tenemos que ser más fuertes cada día. Y es tener la esperanza de que algo bueno está por venir.
Right now, there's a strange sensation that we're not from here. We're not from there. We made a very, very difficult decision to come to this country and to remain in this country and contribute to this country. This was a decision with many costs. We've lost over the past 23 years many family members and loved ones without being able to say goodbye. It's not easy, but we came and continue to move forward with the commitment to our children. And every day, with the love and the protection of God, we move closer and closer toward those goals, and we remain firm in our goals for being here. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I know that we're running late. If I could just briefly respond to Oralia, obviously, is the reason that I invited Oralia and her husband here today is they are strong people, very firmly rooted in their family, exceptional in their ability to manage the day-to-day stress of living undocumented, especially having children who, through deferred action, through citizenship, are rooted here. And para decir que como el estrés diariamente. So I think that as people of faith and people who want to begin the process of reaching out to our community, we need to think about the persecution, what essentially we view at New Sanctuary as persecution, of the immigrant community, not just in terms of, you know, an ICE agent coming to one's home and detaining somebody, but in terms of the day-to-day pressure of having that feeling that I am being watched. It builds up and it creates a kind of pervasive, consistent anxiety that affects every other aspect of your life. At the conference I was at on Friday, a woman was talking about a woman who is a citizen. She's Bolivian, but a recent citizen. She dropped her son off to college, his first year of college in September. And
time.
Anyway, she was saying, I was filled with so much worry. I was filled with so much just questions. What would it be like if my son were a DACA recipient? And his very existence at college, his very existence here in this country, were hanging in the balance. How would that affect the way that I feel? So I know that we're over time. On May 1st, Voces de la Frontera will be marching in Waukesha. We will be marching for driver's licenses. We will be marching for an end to 287G. The program that the Waukesha Sheriff has applied for, which will basically train local police force to act as immigration agents. And we will be marching for the DREAM Act, a clean DREAM Act that will allow people who have been contributing and paying taxes and, you know, basically people who are essentially Americans to start a clean pathway to citizenship. We hope that you join us. I have cards in my pocket. Keep in touch, and thank you for allowing us to be here today.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you, Shana. Thank you, Auralia, for sharing your story. We're going to wrap up our service here. I invite you all to come for soup after the service and spend time in the social hall. I'm sure there's people with more questions and share more of your story. So thank you all for coming. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, which is Sanctuary. The words are in your order of service.
As opportunities for courage, kindness, and advocacy appear to support the most vulnerable among us, we will discover what we need inside ourselves to challenge injustice and champion the rights of all people to reach their highest potential without fear of us, the other.